139, starting at verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. And then our text this evening, verses 13 through 16. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I could count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! O men of blood, depart from me! They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The grass withers, the flower fades, but God's word stands forever. As we come to this word that stands forever, let me pray with you, asking God for his blessing on this word to us this afternoon. Please pray with me. Speak, O Lord, for your people are listening. Remind us this afternoon of the wonderful truths that we have, the glorious encouragement of how wonderful your works are in making us. Open our hearts to your word. Help us to focus and be attentive to what you have to say to us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, modern technology has given us many, many ways to conceive children. And with these many ways come many ethical challenges, many difficult questions that arise for people who have to walk through this path. Some of you have, or you may know people who have walked through the path of modern technology and conceiving children. Now, my aim today, and parents will be thankful, is not to go through all these different ways that children can be conceived. I'm not going to talk about the pros and the cons or the rights and the wrongs. But it is good to acknowledge that modern technology, modern medicine has given us the blessing of being able to conceive children in ways that 20, 30 years would not have been possible. Now, as modern science has studied these methods, it's also given us a tremendous insight into the miracle that is human conception. And it is a miracle. Two cells, one cell from the father, one cell from the mother, coming together. It rightly is called the miracle of conception. And it is a miracle. Every single child that is created. It doesn't happen by luck. It doesn't happen by chance. And our psalm today reminds us that we come into being not through modern medicine, not through Mother Nature, not simply through basic biology happening. But our psalm today reminds us that in the creation of human beings, in the conception, in the birth of human beings, God's fingerprints are all over our creation. Our theme this afternoon is a simple one. God knows every single one of our days. God knows every single one of our days. 3 points this afternoon. God made you. God knows you. And God has planned your path. So our first point this afternoon, God made you. And we're going to work our way through Psalm 139 verses 13 and following this afternoon. The psalmist says there, "For you formed my inward parts." The literal translation here from the original language is, "You formed my kidneys." The picture here is a potter carefully moulding his creation. Potter doesn't get a lump of clay and just throw it down on a bench and there you go, there's the product. No, he takes the clay, he puts it on, what are those wheels called? Pottery wheel. I thought it was complicated. Pottery wheel. He puts it on a pottery wheel. He gets some water and he molds it and shapes it as that wheel spins and turns. And that's the kind of picture that the psalmist wants us to see, that King David wants us to see this afternoon. God is intimately involved in our coming into being. And that's the case for every single one of you here. It's the case for every single person that has ever come into being and will come into being. There's no miracle of nature. No, it's the miracle of God bringing us to life. It's more too for God than the process of simply allowing two human beings to come together and create a human being. No, the picture here is God being involved there, planning, forming, sculpting, designing. You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. A picture here of a weaving, a hands-on process again as well. Now, I've never done weaving, but I've seen enough people do it to know that it's an amazing, intricate process. It requires thinking. It requires planning. It requires vision and design to create this work of art. That's a beautiful picture, too, of God weaving us, isn't it? Each single human being, a different piece of art, a wonderful, beautiful tapestry woven together. The psalmist reflects on this, King David. He reflects on God molding and shaping and bringing us into being, and his response is one of fear and admiration. Verse 14, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." I am fearfully made. Does that mean that the psalmist, that King David, cowers in fear before God? No, it's a picture here of awe, of respect, of reverence, as he realizes that God has made him or her. And that demands a response. A response of praise, thanking God. But also an acknowledgement that we are to submit our lives to him because he is our maker. Generally, when you make something, when you make a piece of art, it's your work of art. It's got your name on it. As the prophet, as Jesus said, and the prophet Isaiah said, God is the potter and we are the clay. The clay doesn't say to the potter, "Why did you make me?" No, God has a claim on our life. We belong to God. He made us. And that goes against much of our thinking and much of modern society's thinking, doesn't it? We are our own person. We have our own rights. The psalmist simply acknowledges here that we belong to him. That because God has made us, because he has molded us, shaped us, weaved us together, we owe him the glory, the reverence, the obedience. He is the potter, we are the clay. He is the master weaver, we are the weaving. When you see something impressive, what do you generally do? When you see an amazing painting, when you see an item of clothing in the shop that looks amazing, when you see a restored car, what do? You generally go, wow. And you give praise. You ask yourself, who made that? That person must be so clever. And that's what the psalmist does here. Wonderful are your works, he says. My soul knows it very well. And so it should be with us, brothers and sisters, friends. As we contemplate this afternoon, the miracle of conception and birth, our birth, our response should be to say thank you, God, to bring him praise for molding us and shaping us. God made us, and that demands a response from us. Who are we living our lives for? But secondly, the psalmist also points out that God knows us. God knows us. Verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you. Now, another word for frame could be substance. What a person is made of. Boys are made of snips, snails, and puppy dogs' tails. And what are girls made of? Sugar and spice and all things nice. I'm not sure that comparison is fair. But there you go, Grace. You're made of sugar and spice and all things nice. Frame here talks about our substance, what we are made of. Our bones, our framework. But the key idea here is that as we were being made, as we were being put together, we weren't hidden from God. God was our maker. He knew what he was doing and he knew us. He knew us when we were being made in secret, when we were being intricately woven. There's that picture again of weaving and embroidery in the depths of the earth. Now, those two phrases then, being made in secret and woven in the depths of the earth, are two parallel phrases. And they are designed to show and point to a baby growing in the womb. Something that you can't, or in those days, couldn't actually see. At the moment, we are a nursery for a good number of monarch butterflies at home. We have a number of chrysalis or chrysalises. Go home and look up how that should be said. But we have a number of those going. And you can see the little caterpillars growing and getting bigger and fatter. And then they form into this chrysalis. And after that, you can't see anything for about 2 weeks, I'm told. You have to wait and see. As this little chrysalis all of a sudden one day breaks open, and then you can see what has been formed over those past couple of weeks. Then you could see the butterfly. And it's the same for the psalmist. Back in those days, the growth of a baby in the womb was a mystery. You could see the effects of the baby growing. You could see what was happening to mum, but you couldn't see what was happening until the baby was born. But again, thanks to modern medicine, we can see the process. We can see and understand the development process of growth in the womb. We can see the beauty of ultrasound, and that's one of the most awesome things that I've had a privilege to do as a parent, and see each of our children growing in the womb. Being able to count fingers and toes, being able to tell if he or she was a boy or a girl, if you wanted to know. And nowadays, you can get apparently a 3D picture of the baby growing in the womb. Has anyone had that with any of their children, a 3D picture? You had a 3D picture in the back? Yep, great, amazing. I saw this week in the news that what a doctor had done is taken that 3D picture and molded it into a plaster mold so that a blind mum could actually feel the contours of her baby's new face. All of that due to the miracle of modern science. And as you see all this, as you see the beauty, as you see the details, you see this baby growing, it screams out, it cries out of God's great and wonderful design. Thanks to ultrasound, we can see into that secret place. Something the psalmist could not do. But brothers and sisters, what our psalmist, what King David did know, is that God doesn't need ultrasound. He sees us in the womb. He knows our every single detail. Right from the beginning, as we shall see shortly, even before our beginning. God knows us, every single part and detail in us. He knows us even more and in greater detail than even an ultrasound can show. But we also see here how the Bible views a baby growing in the womb, how the Bible views personhood. Some would tell you, and the word used there for people who believe this are called pro-choice. I actually think, personally, that's a horrible term. Pro-choice. What does that mean? Whose choice is it? Pro-choice. A pro-choice advocate says that a baby is not a baby. It's not a human being until it comes out of the mother. Until then, it's just a fetus. The whole use of terminology is designed to dehumanize what is growing in the womb. That's the only way that you could conceivably justify it, to kill something that is living by saying it's not human. But David tells us that as he was being formed in his mother's womb, as he was being made in secret, God knew him. You don't know a truck. You don't know a house. You don't know a blob of cells. You don't know a fetus. But you do know a person, a human being. And our psalm reminds us that it's a human being growing in the womb. Our psalm shows us and reminds us that God knows us every single step of the way, right from the beginning. And brothers and sisters, friends, that is an encouraging thing. That God knows everything about us, that he knows us better than we know ourselves. It's encouraging because it means that if we are one of his children, we will never walk alone because he knows us. It's encouraging because he knows us inside and out. He knows our struggles. He knows our needs. He knows our trials. And he promises that he will continue to work in us. As he promised, as Paul promised through the Philippians, that God the Father will continue right to the end the work that he began in us. As we were reminded this in this morning service, that because God knows us, his power is at work within us through the work of the Holy Spirit, molding us, shaping us, making us more and more like Jesus Christ. So again, as we know this, as we know that God knows us, what can we simply do but praise him? But praise him because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God knows us right from the beginning. And he knows us right from before we began. That brings us to our third and final point this afternoon. God has planned your path. God has planned your path. Verse 16, your eyes saw my unformed substance. This takes us back to conception, back to the moment that our life began. For the first 12 hours, as a human being is formed with two cells, one from the mother, one from the father, a human being exists as a single cell. After 30 hours, this cell splits into two cells. Another 15 hours, it splits into four. And at the end of 3 days, this tiny human being looks a little bit like a blueberry or a raspberry. 15 cells in total. After 8 to 9 days, the cells divide into a placenta to support the baby, and it starts to break divide into the various systems that our body is made of. The skin, the nervous system, the digestive system, the respiratory system, the muscles and the bones begin to form just after 8 to 9 days. The psalmist reminds us that God knows us through every single step of that way. But he knows us even before that. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Before we even came into being, God knew us. God had planned out our life. Now, boys and girls, a number of you have gone on holiday over the summer, is that right? A few of you have gone camping. You've gone out camping? Yep. And as you did that, your parents, before you did that, your parents will have made a plan. At least, I hope they did. You didn't just get in the car one day and go for a drive, did you? You said, no, you had to talk about what kind of food you were going to eat while you were away. You had to get the tent checked to make sure the tent was okay. You had to put the tent in the car. You had to figure out where you were going. You had to book where you were going. You had to plan out all these things. And God had planned your life out as well. All of your days, every single one of them, every second, every hour, every single choice you were going to make, every single thing that you were going to do, God had planned out every single one. God had planned for you to be right here this afternoon witnessing Grace's profession of faith before the beginning of time. He'd planned for Grace working in her heart to bring her to the stage where she would stand up here this afternoon and say, I love Jesus Christ. He is my Lord and Savior. I want to be a part of God's church family. God had planned before the beginning of time for Jesus Christ to come down and die on the cross to pay for Grace's sins, to pay for Israel's sins, to pay for Victoria's sins, for Peter's sins, for Hunter's sins, for David's sins, for Rebecca's sins. Every single one of those things were planned by God. And again, brothers and sisters, that gives us great comfort as we go through life. It's a word of comfort for you, Grace. As you leave Rangiora shortly, you can go with Christ's promise that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And when you get homesick, I hope you will. When you get homesick, you can know and rest in the fact that you are never alone because Jesus Christ promises to walk with you every single step of the way. As you go about your studies, as you find a church to call home, he will be with you. And that is true for every single one of us. It is true for you younger boys and girls. One day I hope and pray that you will be able to stand up here as well and say, yes, I love the Lord Jesus. I publicly commit my life to him. It's true for those of us who are older, whose days that have been written out in God's book are slowly coming to an end. God is with you. God cares for you. He walks with you. He has not only laid out this path for you of life, numbering every single one of your days, your hours, your seconds, he has also promised to walk that path with you. So what about you this afternoon? As you reflect on this, how God has planned out your life for you, how he has made you, how he promises to be with you every single step of the way, how do you respond? Will you respond in praise this afternoon, giving thanks and glory to him? So fearfully and wonderfully made, how could they say there is no God? Reminded every breath that I take, it's by your hand that I have been formed. So what am I going to do with this life that you have given me? What could I do but live for your praise? You gave me this breath, you gave me this strength, and every day I'll live to obey you with all of my heart, with all of my soul. Let every breath I'm breathing display you, God. There's elegance in all you create. Your grand designs leave us amazed. The wonders of the way we've been made. Speak of your power. Tell of your grace. So what am I going to do with this life you gave me? What could I do but live for your praise? What am I going to do with this life you gave me? What am I going to do with this life? What am I going to do in these days you've ordained? What am I going to do with this life? Amen. Let's pray together. Please pray with me. Father, we thank you for this wonderful reminder, for this wonderful comfort of this truth that it is you who made us. We are not an accident. We are not made by chance. But we are made by your wonderful hand. We thank you, Father, for the beauty of a human being. We thank you for the fact that you created us. We thank you that you are with us every single step of the way if we are your children. We thank you for the path that you have laid out for us. We pray, Heavenly Father, in this week to come as we face the trials of life, as we go out to serve you, that this truth may encourage us, that it may comfort us. As we go through times when we feel alone, may we remember that it is you who knows us. When it feels like we are all alone, that you are there with us. Guide us and lead us in our path, Lord. Guide and lead Grace as she leaves our church family here. Be with her. Go with her. Give her your blessing, we pray. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand now and sing from the psalm, number 139, 139 in your hymn books. And just a slight technical note here, due to copyright restrictions, we cannot project for you at home the first verse. So that means two things. One, you'll have to listen to the Reformed Church choir of Rangiora once again. And it also means that those of us here in the building need to sing nice and loud and joyfully so that those following along at home can hear the words. Let's stand and sing from the psalm that we've just spent our time in this afternoon. We're going to sing verse 1, verses 7 through 9, and verse 12. Now, if you've already forgotten that, I'll guide you as we go through. Verse 1 and then verse 7. Let's stand and sing together.